Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Channa Balabha Kiri Vadanari. Gopi Channa Balabha Kiri Vadanari. Yasodhanandana Bhagavata Ranjana. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Punjabi Hari, Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari, Gopi Channa Balabha Devaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Channa Balabha Giri Vadanari. Gopi Channa Balabha Giri Vadanari. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Shishu Yana Madhava Ki Jai. Shri Mataji Ram Ki Jai. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
He's reading two verses from the third canto, chapter 19, text number 37 and 38. This tells you the benefits of hearing about the appearance of Lord Varaha. Text 37. Yovai Hiranyaksha Vadam Mahadbhutam. Vikriditam karana sikaratmana. Srinoti gayatyanam anamodate njasa. Vimuchite brahma vedadapi dvija. Yuvai hiranyaksha vadam mahadbhutam. Vikriditam karana sukaratmana. Srinoti gayatyana modate njasa. Vimuchate brahma vadadapi dvija.
Hiranyakshavadam,
of the killing of Hiranyaksha,
Mahadbhutam,
most wonderful, Vikriditam,
pastime, karana.
Karana.
For reasons like raising the earth from the ocean.
For reasons like raising the earth from the ocean.
Sukara.
Sukara.
Appearing in the form of a boar.
Appearing in the form of a boar.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Shrinoti.
Hears.
Gayati.
Chants.
Anumodate.
Takes pleasure.
Anjasa.
At once.
Vimuchate.
Becomes freed.
Brahmavadat.
From the sin of killing a Brahmin.
Api.
Even.
Dvija.
O Brahmins. Translation, O Brahmins, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the earth is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahmin. Please repeat, O Brahmins, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon
by the Lord
who appeared as the first boar
in order to deliver the world
is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities,
even the killing of a Brahmin.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since the personality of Godhead is in the absolute position, there is no difference between his pastimes and his personality. Anyone who hears about the pastimes of the Lord associates with the Lord directly, and one who associates directly with the Lord is certainly freed from all sinful activities, even to the extent of the killing of a Brahmin, which is considered the most sinful activity in the material world. One should be very eager to hear about the activities of the Lord from the bona fide source, the pure devotee. If one simply gives oral reception to the narration and accepts the glories of the Lord, then he is qualified. The impersonalist philosophers cannot understand the activities of the Lord. They think that all of his activities are Maya, therefore they are called Mayavadis. Since everything to them is Maya, these narrations are not for them. Some impersonalists are reluctant to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, although many of them are now taking an interest in it just for monetary gain. Actually, however, they have no faith. On the contrary, they describe it in their own way. We should not hear, therefore, from the Mayavadis. We have to hear from Suta Goswami or Maitreya, who actually present the narrations as they are, and only then can we relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, the effects on the neophyte audience will be poisonous. I'll just read the next one quickly. Etam mahapunyam alam pavitram danyam shashyam padam ashisham pranendriyanam yudhi soyavadanam narayanam gute kichiranisambhatam. Okay, translation. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary wealth, merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Shonaka. Just remember that. Yeah. Purport. Devotees are generally attracted by the narratives of the pastimes of the Lord, and even though they do not prosecute austerities or meditation, this very process of hearing attentively about the pastimes of the Lord will endow them with innumerable benefits such as wealth, fame, longevity, and other desirable aims of life. If one continues to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narratives of the pastimes of the Lord, at the end of this life one is sure to be transferred to the eternal transcendental abode of the Lord. Thus hearers are benefited both ultimately and for as long as they are in the material world. That is the supreme, sublime result of engaging in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to spare some time and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended 5 items of devotional service, namely to serve the devotees of the Lord, to chant Hare Krishna, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship the deity of the Lord, and to live in a place of pilgrimage. Just performing these 5 activities can deliver one from the miserable condition of material life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, the story of the appearance of Lord Varaha is very wonderful. The world had fallen into the waters at the bottom of the universe, and so Brahma, he was concerned, and the demigods, they were bewildered about what to do about this, because they work and want the benefit of the world, so they didn't really know what to do. And all of a sudden, from Brahma's nostril, there appeared a tiny little object, and it suddenly grew, and it was a little boar, and it suddenly grew very big. And of course, all the different incarnations of the Lord are very wonderful. As we, in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Kama Chamedibhyam Evam Yoga Tatra Chakra Deham Panajanma Naitemam Eti Surajana, that if we believe in the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord, then we certainly can become liberated. So all the different incarnations of the Lord are very wonderful. In the in the one book written by the Gaga Samhita, there's a beautiful narration of how the daughters of Varuna saw the Matsya incarnation. So the Matsya incarnation, although the Matsya incarnation was a fish, the daughters of Varuna were very attracted, because they couldn't really have a relationship with Matsya. So they were actually born as gopas in Vrindavan. So all the different forms of the Lord are very beautiful. And so Varaha is also very beautiful. And he, all these different incarnations, Krishna says, he comes to protect the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. He comes millennium after millennium. So Krishna is always willing to come to help the devotees or to rectify the situation in the world. And of course he came in this day and age in the form of the holy name, Kale Kala Namaruti Rupa Krishna Avatar. So in this day and age he's come as a holy name. And sometimes it might be hard to, when we chant Hare Krishna, for me personally, I might not be aware that Krishna is none different from his name. But you chant anyway, and hopefully one day he'll reveal himself. And, you know, because Krishna is so full of nectar, we should theoretically be tasting nectar when we chant the holy name. But I don't know how many devotees feel nectar when they chant the holy name. Maybe some of you do. I don't. It's a work in progress. It's a gradual process. But I know some devotees who do. I know at least 2 devotees who chant, who have chanted 192 rounds. I won't tell you their names, but it takes all day, 7 minutes, 7 minutes around, 24 hours. It's not easy, but I do know of one devotee who's done it for several days in a row, but they do other things too, they do other important service. So, you know, Krishna appears in different forms, and in the form of the boar, he appeared specifically to lift the world out of the depths of the water, but also to kill the demons, Hiranyaksha. So the story of Hiranyaksha's birth is that Diti, she was married to Kashyapa, and because Kashyapa was a great sage, and Diti was the daughter of Daksha. He had 13 daughters, or maybe 13 were married to Kardama. Anyway, she she was very beautiful, according to Bhagavatam, but she was overcome by lust. And she couldn't control her senses, so she was trembling, and she was in so much anxiety that she begged her husband, Kashyapa, to please satisfy her desire. And even though he knew that it wasn't a good thing to do, he was also bewildered by the material energy. So he satisfied her desire, and going back a little bit, actually, it's interesting how the four Kumaras, there's a description of the kingdom of God in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the four Kumaras, well, the description talks about how the different animals and creatures in the spiritual world, they enjoy the sound of the humming of the bee, even though some of these birds and living entities have beautiful singing voices, they actually appreciate the humming of the bee the most. And then the next verse talks about how there are many different wonderful aromatic flowers in the spiritual world. We can hardly imagine how beautiful they must be, because even in this physical world there are some beautiful smells, like the night blooming jasmine or the lemon blossom or the orange blossom, very beautiful smells. So, but the flowers in the spiritual world, they give all acknowledgement to Tulsi. And Tulsi may not look like a very extraordinary plant to, you know, a casual observer, but the Tulsi is very dear to Krishna. And actually Krishna doesn't accept anything without Tulsi leaf. And the reason is that Tulsi has performed many austerities to please the Lord. And only the Lord knows how many austerities she's performed. So it's described how there's no envy in the spiritual world. That's the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. There's no envy. And we've seen that in the material world, even amongst the society of devotees, sometimes there's envy. And this has been a major problem for our society, because envious people, because Prabhupada said there are some demons in the dress of devotees, maybe he's referring to them, but because they see somebody who excels them in devotional service, they become envious and they criticize. And then they even want to destroy ISKCON. They've tried so many ways to destroy ISKCON, because Prabhupada said ISKCON can only be destroyed from within ISKCON, not from outside. So therefore, it's very important to quell our envy, to purify the heart, and to be satisfied with who we are. Because many times we see that people may join ISKCON at the same time, but somebody could be way more advanced or more empowered than somebody else who joins at the same time. This is so therefore I heard the example given by Bhakti Chiruswami. It's a very good example that we're all on the same team. So when you're on team, and somebody throws the winning pass or kicks the winning goal, the star, the center forward, or the quarterback. So you're happy. Ah, he's won the game. So somebody may do some wonderful activity, wonderful devotional service. So we should all be very happy and give acknowledgement and glorify that person. Anyway, so the kingdom of God, and then the four Kumaras, they can go everywhere. They were going all over different planets and unimpeded. So they wanted to go to Vaikuntha. So they went to Vaikuntha, and when they got to Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijay, they were guarding the seventh door to Vaikuntha. You can't just get into Vaikuntha, there's seven gates, not just one, seven. Because they don't want any non-devotees there. So at the seventh gate, Jaya and Vijay were there, and they were dressed in beautiful gold ornaments, and they had gold clubs and everything else. But they had discontented nostrils, if you know what that means. I guess they were flaring out a little bit or something. Anyway, so they stopped them. They said, "What are you upstarts doing here? You're just young boys. You're not qualified to go and see Narayan. We're going to bar you. We're not going to let you in." So immediately, the four Kumaras, they were very upset. And they wanted to curse Jaya Vijay. And so then, because they were upset, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, came to speak to them. And he was very concerned that they were upset. He doesn't want his devotees to be upset. So this passage here is very nice. I always liked this, even when I first read it, like 45 years ago. It's always stuck in my mind. I can't remember it verbatim, but I'll read it. This is, what chapter is this? This is chapter 16, canto 3, text number 3. O great sages, I approve of the punishment that you are that you who are devoted to me have meted out to them. To me, the Brahmin is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. Isn't that amazing? So, the Supreme Lord, he is asking for forgiveness. There's also another very nice passage in the fourth canto, about Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, no, not Dhruva Maharaj. Who's the other king? Incarnation, Prithu Maharaj, So Prithu Maharaj, he was addressing the assembly, and it said that his eyes were like the twinkling stars in a beautiful dark night. He was very beautiful. So he's talking to the assembly, and he's saying that actually one who takes the dust of the feet of the Brahmins on his head gets all the wealth of the world. The Brahmins, whose only wealth, what is the Brahmins' only wealth?
Austerity.
Huh?
Austerity.
No. It's actually good behavior. So the Brahmins' only wealth is their good behavior. So one who takes the dust of the lotus feet of the Brahmins on the head gets all the wealth of the world. So the Brahmins are very dear. So, you know, Lord Vishnu here, he is actually glorifying the Brahmins, and he's taking it that it's his offense. And then he says, a wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. So therefore, the responsibility of the Brahmins is very great, because it calls into disrepute the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the Brahmins have to be very ideal. And there's a similar passage in the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, where he's glorifying the Brahmins. And he's also saying about taking the dust from the feet of the Brahmins. So to become a Brahmin, when Prabhupada gave Brahminical initiation, he would say, now you have the opportunity to become a Brahmin. You're not really a Brahmin yet, just because you have the thread and the mantra. Because to become a Brahmin is a very, very elevated position. At least it was until India, of course, became degraded to some degree because of the Muslim invasion, and then the British tried to minimize the Vedic teachings. So, you know, it appears that the Indian subcontinent started to worship demigods and gave up worship of Krishna and Narayan. Anyway, somehow or other, the Brahmins lost the plot. Anyone in the entire world, even down to the Chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of the dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without doubt. Therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. That's amazing. The Lord continued, because I am the servant of my devotees, and my lotus feet have become so. Because I am the servant of my devotees. In the 11th canto, also, Krishna tells Uddhava that no one is dear to me, neither Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, as you are, Uddhava. And therefore, because I love my devotees, I'm following in their footsteps, and I'm taking the dust of their feet. And the dust of the devotees actually purifies the world, he says in the 11th canto. Because I am the servant of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin and have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me, even though I have no attachment for her, while others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. I wish I could remember this off by heart, but you'll have to forgive me for reading. But I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrifice in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, who are ever satisfied with my prasad. Okay, the last one. Oh, two more. I am the master of my unobstructed eternal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on my head, who will refuse to do the same? The Brahmins, the cows, and the defenseless creatures of my own body, those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin, look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. Just one more. On the other hand, they captivate my heart, who are glad in heart, and who, their lotus faces enlightened by nectarian smiles, respect the Brahmins, even though the Brahmins utter harsh words. They look upon the Brahmins as my own self and pacify them by praising them in loving words, even as a son would appease an angry father, or as I am pacifying you. Anyway, so Vishnu felt guilty because the doorman had obstructed Jaya and Vijaya from entering the Vaikuntha. So they had to be punished. And so they took different forms, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and so Hiranyaksha, he was the younger brother, because it said elsewhere that Hiranyakashipu was the first to enter the womb of Diti. So he was older. So Hiranyaksha, of course Hiranyakashipu, well, Diti got one benediction, which I forgot to mention, that her grandson would be a great devotee. So even though she had done something foolish, was to conceive a child at dusk when she was looking around to place ghosts into the womb of women who conceive at dusk, because she was a devotee, she got one special benediction, that her son, her grandson would be Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu's son was Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, Kashyapa, he was telling Diti, this will be your grandson, and some of his qualities will be, you know, he will be an unlimited reservoir of good qualities. He will be happy in other people's happiness, he'll be distressed in other people's distress, and just so many nice qualities Prahlad had. So that was one benediction she got, but you know, to have two big demons like that must be very painful. So she was lamenting, that's why she got that benediction. She felt so bad about it. So then we hear about the appearance of Hiranyaksha and the battle between Hiranyaksha and Lord Varaha. So Varaha, he's one of the 10 principal incarnations. All of the different incarnations, they are very beautiful, and they perform superhuman feats, and hearing about them is so important. Even in Chaitanya Leela, we have the appearance of Lord Varaha, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the form of Varaha, which is in this wonderful book, which is edited by Pundarik Prabhu here. So here, in the Madhya Kanda, chapter 3, we see, it says here, that Lord Varaha, he appeared in the house of Murari Gupta. And then Murari Gupta praised him. And then Varaha was criticizing the Vedas, because the Vedas can be interpreted in an impersonal way. So he says, the Vedas mock me by accusing me of having no hands, legs, mouth, or eyes. And then he talks about Prakashananda Saraswati, who was an impersonalist, and how he got leprosy. His entire body was afflicted with leprosy. My body is the personification of all sacrifice, and therefore so pure that personalities such as Brahma and Shiva glorify its characteristics. And then, when I was delivering the earth, Lord Varaha said, she became pregnant by my touch. I begot a powerful son named Naraka, and I personally instructed him on religious principles. So even though Naraka was instructed by Lord Varaha, my son became a great king, Lord Varaha says, and he properly maintained the demigods, the twice-born, the gurus, and the devotees. By providence, he fell into bad association with Bana and began to take pleasure in oppressing the devotees. He became a demon. I cannot tolerate the oppression of my servants, so I cut my own son to protect my servants. That's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, so that's the thing. You've got to associate with the right people. So even Lord Varaha's son, in his own words, he became a demon and he had to kill him. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That even the Lord himself can have a son who with bad association become a demon, and he had to kill him. So there's lots of inconceivable features of the Vedas and the Lord's pastimes, but they're all wonderful and amazing and very purifying to hear, and believing in the inconceivable nature of the Lord is the first step in self-realization. Bhaktisiddhanta says what he says, that yachinta shakti is Krishna being, you know, human beings being so limited as we are, how can we possibly understand Krishna? Therefore, we have to pray for Krishna to reveal himself to us. Because with our own intellect, we can't understand something inconceivable, someone inconceivable. But fortunately, Krishna appears in the Vedas and he's made it easy for us. So therefore, Vedasya Savera Hamavidya Vedantakrit Vedavit Evachaham. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas and know of the Vedanta. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So we can know Krishna by the Vedas. But even if we don't know the Vedas, if we're sincere, we have the illiterate Brahman, but also there's a verse there in the 11th canto, a very interesting verse. It says, what's that verse? Anyway, the translation is that somebody running with their eyes closed, they will never trip or fall. Anyone who accepts the path of devotional service. So even running with their eyes closed, in the purport it says that even if somebody doesn't know the Vedas, because they don't have Shastra Chakshus, the vision of the Vedas, but they will never trip or fall if they take up devotional service. So we're always getting encouragement from Krishna. Krishna's always like, you know, if you listen to these stories, you'll never lose a battle, you'll have wealth and so many different things. Krishna's always encouraging us to hear. So we have so many books to read. You can never read all the books, the Goswami's books. I have 4 books in my car, they got 800-900 pages each book. The Gopal Chandra, I mean, they're not so easy to read. I've got a book by Shiva Ramaswamy, Sankalpa Kamodi, which is 900 pages. Anyway, so unlimited. And the Goswamis, they're just pouring the nectar upon us. Because people have different tastes. Even if you can't read all the books, you can read some of them because they cater for everybody. So kind, so generous. They didn't get paid, they just sat under a tree and wrote. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, it's time to finish. Any questions, comments, reflections? Okay. Yes, back to Jason.
Hare Krishna.
Can you hold it a little closer? Not too close.
When Ram Raksha got killed, Hiranyakashipu came up with a plan.
What? When Hiranyakashipu got killed, what?
Hiranyakashipu got killed. Hiranyakashipu came up with a brilliant plan to stop the Vedic culture.
Yeah, like, killing the cows.
Like, yeah, killing all the Brahmins and all the sacrifices, you could stop them.
Can you hear? I can't really hear. When Hiranyakashipu got killed, Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy Vedic culture.
Yeah.
That's as far as I heard.
Killing the Brahmins, all the sacrifices would get stopped, and then all the demigods would just die because there's no sacrifices.
Yeah.
That was the reason. That was the strategy.
Yeah. he tried to kill the cows. Actually, that was one thing. When they were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the cows, they didn't give milk anymore, they gave blood. If you milk them, blood came out. So they were very nasty demons. So cow protection is so important. So we should consider, you know, how Brahminical culture depends on cow protection. So we should all try to protect the cows in our own, however we can. Of course, it's not so easy for most of you. But something to think about. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.